Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Beth Nimmo, and she is the mother of Rachel Scott, who was the first victim killed at the Columbine High School shooting, April 20, 1999. She is the co-author of a book called Rachel's Tears, and author of the book The Journals of Rachel Scott. Now, there's a new movie out. It's a wonderful movie. I got to see a sneak peek of it a few months ago, called I'm Not Ashamed. I'm Not Ashamed. The website for that is imnotashamedfilm.com. Beth, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Sure. And I want to just say one thing. I was out of the country when the shootings happened. I actually happened to be in Pakistan in a kind of a ministry-related capacity. And then I was in Norway. And while I was in Norway during a break, I happened to see CNN, and it was the funeral of Rachel Scott. And there was all this great Christian stuff that was being said, and I was just shocked. I had no idea of anything related to that, and here I was in Norway. This was even before I came back to the States to process some of the terrible things that had happened at Columbine. But I just want you to know that. I mean, that testimony of the Christianity of your daughter, you know, was being heard all over the world.
Well, thank you for that. God has used her story over and over again.
Okay, so tell us about this film. It's now out. I'm Not Ashamed.
Well, Rachel left us her story by leaving journals of writings and drawings that she had done, and it described and portrayed a relationship that she had with the Lord that was very intimate and very powerful. And a lot of her writings were very prophetic. She had a sense of a premature death, of not living to be very old. She couldn't see a future for herself. And God was just using her by these writings. He was, I think, having her write a proxy for this generation of young people or searching for truth and light. And so she started writing about that. And after her death, when we discovered all of this, we realized God was using her, even at the school, as a witness. And she was just quietly going about sharing Jesus in a very simple, uncomplicated, non-aggressive way. But it was a pure witness. And so we just felt like, we've shared her story over and over again, thousands of times. It's impacted a lot of people, and felt like I wanted to bring it to the big screen.
Oh, so you were instrumental then in this movie being made?
Yes. I am one of the executive producers. I actually had final edit rights on everything.
Oh, wow. Okay. And I understand that you had found in her writings or something, some sort of prediction along the lines of that God would use her to speak to millions about Jesus? Or am I getting that correct? Okay, go ahead.
You are. One of the little drawings she left on the back of a dress, which we didn't find until after a year after her death, had her handprints that she had traced. And in the middle, she wrote, "These hands belong to Rachel Joy Scott and will someday touch millions of people's lives, hearts. Millions of people's hearts." And then she wrote off and on in all of her journals. She talked about wanting to change the world, wanting to start a chain reaction, she called it. And so she had a sense of destiny. You know, she talked about in May of 1998, she wrote that this would be her last year, and that in April of 20th of 1998, she wrote, "Whatever it takes, I will take it." And 1 year to the day, she kept that vow as she confessed her faith. And 2 weeks before she was killed, she wrote the last stanza of a poem that says, "This is suicide. I consider it homicide. The world you have created has led to my death." So it became very clear that the Lord was preparing a witness of light to come out of that very dark day of April the 20th, 99, because it was so overshadowed with the darkness of and the evil of what had happened that day. And God just, he was preparing a witness to come out.
And the two guys that did the killings, one of the things they asked at least some of the victims, including Rachel Scott, was, "Do you believe in God?" Tell us about that.
Well, they did. They approached Rachel. She'd already taken two bullets to her body when they approached her, pulled her up by her hair, and put the gun to her temple, and mocked her and asked her if she still believed. And she answered them, "You know that I do." And then her shooter said, "Well, then, go be with him." And he pulled the trigger. But from there, they go into the library, and there's other instances of where they challenge kids for their faith. And she wasn't alone in that. But the young man that was with her gave us that testimony of what he experienced right beside Rachel when she died.
Hmm. There was an interview I did many years ago with a young lady where she was asked about God, or it's possible that they confused the victims, but Cassie Bernal, and she said yes, but here's the bottom line. Her parents, when I did the interview, they said, "We weren't there at the library, you know, to hear her be asked the question and then to say yes and then was killed. We weren't there, but this we know. Prior to the shooting, long before the shooting, Cassie was on the wrong direction in her life and was even getting involved in the occult and so forth. And they did an intervention in her life, and she ended up becoming a born-again Christian and becoming very full of life and so forth. And so I guess among other victims, the people that they were killing that day were outspoken Christians.
Well, they had a target list that they had put together, and Christians were on that list.
They had a what list?
A target list.
Target list, okay.
Yes, and Rachel's name was on that list. Their name for her, which they put in a videotape. We've got a copy of the recording. They called her Rachel, "You Godly Christian Whore," and it was that mockery of her beliefs and her values, and they knew her, and I believe there were other kids. Well, I know of one young lady who was asked, and she survived. She was wounded, but she did survive. And
her name is Valerie. Valerie Schnurr or something?
Val Schnurr, yes. And she absolutely was asked. So we know that element was brought into those boys and their hearts and their minds that day, where they were challenging kids about their faith.
I was talking, when I did the interview, I talked off the air with a young man that was a student at Columbine, and he told me a story about some of the bad things that some of the kids did in that school against the two guys that ended up being the shooters, especially one of them. He said that one time in the lunchroom, they took a milkshake. Some of the football jocks or whatever took a milkshake, and they dumped it upside down on the head of Eric Harris, you know, humiliating him in front of all his classmates and so forth, and laughing at him. And in the movie, they don't have that incident, but they do show other things where these guys, jocks and so forth, were picking on the two guys who did the shooting. And that doesn't justify anything, but it does help to explain some of the bad feelings that did lead up to the horrible incident on April 20.
Yeah, there's nothing that can justify what they did. But, you know, you never know. One of the points that we make in this movie is you never know when you're going to push somebody over the edge. And when you've had reoccurrences of so many bullying situations, you know, after a while you have no tolerance. And if it happens again, you just want to get payback. I don't excuse those boys for what they did, not even a little bit,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of kids get bullied and they never act out in that way. But it shows the importance and the power of your words and your actions and how it impacts other people.
And the interesting thing about the whole thing is that if anybody wasn't, you know, kind of a symbol of good and even returning good for evil or whatever, it was Rachel Scott. You know, and it was neat how in the movie it showed how some people would pick on others, and then Rachel would stand in their defense.
Yeah, she really was a kind-hearted person. She really went out of her way to be kind to people that fell through the cracks, you know, that were like wallpaper. Nobody noticed them. And they were important to her. Those people were important to her. She really had an insight for noticing them and reaching out to them.
Now, the movie makes the point that at certain points in Rachel's life, maybe in her early teen years or something, she was a bit rebellious.
I think she was a normal kid. before she was saved at the age of 12, I think she went through the normal things that kids go through. And even as a young teenager, you know, she was tempted and she did things, you know, later that she had regret about. She wasn't super spiritual. What Rachel was trying to do, though, was just be authentic. And so she left writings about those temptations and about, you know, falling short of the mark that she wanted. And I believe that God was able to use her in a very beautiful way in spite of all that, because God doesn't use perfect people. He doesn't have any perfect people. So it shows just a willingness and obedience to be used by God is all he needs to allow us to be that light and that witness for him. And Rachel, that's all she wanted. She just wanted to show people that there was a God that loved them, and she did it by loving them herself. She was really quite faithful, you know, as far as her actions and walking her talk. She called it walking her talk. She tried it to be, if she said something, she tried to, wanted her behavior and her actions to portray what was coming out of her mouth.
In the movie, she befriends a guy that's basically homeless, a young man, but I guess he's post high school. Is that all true? Or were there kind of, it's all true. All right, go on.
It is actually true. It's based on a very true story. And this young man, he now lives with my two sons.
Oh, wow.
He gave me the journal years ago that he and Rachel shared. And so we try to be as true to the writings and the actual events as possible. A lot of what you hear, the young girl, Macy McLean, who plays Rachel's part, saying a lot of those are verbally, right straight from her own words. So, we try to depict as much as possible actual events.
Hmm. What kind of feedback are you getting on the movie so far?
Amazing. Amazing. People are loving the movie. They appreciate it because we're showing what's happening with real kids in real time. And kids are connecting to it. They're being inspired by it and motivated by it. The response has been wonderful.
Hmm. All right, good. Anything else you want to add? I'll just give the website again. It is imnotashamedfilm.com. We've been talking with Beth Nimmo, who is actually the mother of Rachel Scott, who was killed at the Columbine school shooting. But here's this positive faith-based film on Rachel's life and her death, and it's done very tastefully. Even the violence is done in a way that is not in any way glorifying the violence or is gratuitous. But is there anything else you want to add, Beth?
No, thank you.
Okay, well, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, God bless.
Bye.
And all the best with your movie. Okay, bye-bye now.